The Deadbolt Mystery Society presents The Warwick Recordings, a story about secrets and how they are uncovered in a strange neighborhood in an even stranger town.
Hello, everyone. My name is Knox Carter, and these are the Warwick Recordings. Since we're just getting started here, we'll call this Warwick Recording Number 1. The story that you're about to hear is a chronicle of what happened to me in an unusual neighborhood called Warwick Court, which sits right in the heart of Valley Falls. For the uninitiated, Valley Falls is a small town that is anything but sleepy. The weird, bizarre, and downright frightening are the norm in Valley Falls. Dr. Jordan, my therapist, convinced me to record my journey as I start to build my new life. She thought documenting the process would be a fascinating type of experiment. Who knows, she said. You may even get a new book out of the content. Just take 2 of the blue pills, 1 of the big white ones, and 1 of the little white ones. Then start recording your thoughts and see where they lead. This is an exciting time for you. You're getting a chance to reinvent yourself. This is a chance to escape the past and run toward the future. You can become someone new. Anyone you want, really. And so, here I am, recording pieces of my life on tape. Yes, you heard that right. I said tape. I'm going old school with the process because I don't trust the cloud. Too many people have too many ways to hack in and steal information, and I want to maintain control over this story. Cassette tapes aren't hackable, or at least I don't think they are. Of course, it's possible that someone eventually gets their hands on the tapes and converts them to digital. It's possible you're even listening to this on some digital platform now. For the moment, however, I can't worry about that. If you, a complete stranger, are listening to this in whatever format you may have found these recordings, then there are several possibilities as to why and how you came into possession of this information. 1, I'm dead, and these recordings have been released based on the terms of my newly revised will. 2, my publisher decided that these recordings would provide some additional publicity to help promote the new book that came out from these digital thoughts. And you're listening to them because you're a fan. 3. Perhaps you're a private investigator looking into my disappearance, and these breadcrumbs are one of the leads you're following in hopes of learning what happened to me. Or 4. Maybe I decided to release these audio recordings in podcast form and reap the rewards that come from such an endeavor. Basically, I don't know exactly why you might be listening to this, but you are. And that's the important thing. What I do know is that these recordings will concern the nature of secrets. Secrets jump-started my need for a new life. Secrets are also the backbone of the story I'm about to tell you. Secrets are mysterious threads woven into the fabric of everyday life. Everybody has a secret of some sort. Not all secrets are bad, mind you. They can be as innocent as a schoolyard crush or as sinister as a murder plot. To be clear, everyone has something they don't want others to know about. And in some cases, the reasons for keeping the secret are just as interesting as the secret itself. I have a secret, and so do you. Of this I'm sure. But I'm not ready to tell you my secret. Not yet, anyway. We'll get to that in time. Let's focus on my wife's secret instead. For the moment, it's more interesting and helps set the stage for what's to come. When I discovered my wife's secret, it came with a revelation that she wasn't really a committed spouse after all. She had pledged herself to a Ferrari-driving businessman one town over, and that secret is one she kept for a very long time. Needless to say, the situation with me and her didn't end well. She is now my ex-wife. I never want to experience that kind of hurt again. I really thought I had done a good job of insulating myself against the kinds of secrets that could destroy my life, but the path I took after the divorce proved that to be a lie. I went from being Knox Carter, mildly successful author and trusting husband, to Knox Carter, eternal skeptic and struggling midlist suspense author who could write about astute detectives but wasn't much of one himself. It wasn't a situation I ever imagined I'd find myself in. Cindy and I always had a good relationship, or so I thought. When pressed about her reason for cheating on me, she said I knew exactly what had pushed her to do what she did. She blamed me for her infidelity and said she'd given me plenty of chances to come clean and to get help. She said she was worried about me. It's funny how her way of showing concern was by racing into the arms of someone else. But I digress. It's always easy to point the finger at someone else and not look in the mirror where the blame often belongs. I wasn't perfect by any means, but I treated her well. We had our problems like any other married couple, but our life was basically good. Or at least I thought it was. I guess Cindy didn't share that sentiment. She said there were problems I knew were there. The bottom line is that we saw the world differently, and that led us down very different paths in life. The divergence wasn't sudden. Now that I look back at it, I realize it was actually pretty gradual. She started to go her own way, and I started to go mine, and eventually we discovered that we were going in opposite directions. By then, it was too late to do much about it. I had my new interest, and she had a lover. In any case, the revelation of her secret lover caused me to dive headfirst into the rabbit hole, all the while wondering what other secrets she had been keeping that I didn't know about. Learning the ugly truth of what had been going on caused me to question everything. It drove me crazy. Were there other men besides the one I knew about? Had she ever really loved me in the first place? What else was she hiding? I wasn't sure I would ever trust anyone again. How could I? I would have said that Cindy was as reliable as Magnetic North. But in reality, her moral compass was broken, and now so was my heart. I did love her. That much wasn't a lie. Looking back now, I guess it's ironic that I was in a downward spiral about Cindy's secret, given the nature of my own. But, like I mentioned earlier, it's always easier to point the finger. Most of the scenarios I conjured up in my head about Cindy and her indiscretions were both implausible and the result of an overactive imagination. Yet, my mind did what it did best and imagined the worst. It's the curse of being a somewhat successful author. You get paid to dream big, and my mind was always in creative mode. If you could get a glimpse inside my head, you'd be amazed at the sort of things I come up with. The way I think is both a blessing and a curse. In the months following the divorce, there were several times where I felt like I was about to lose it. Because the indiscretion in the marriage was hers and not mine, I didn't have to pay her any spousal support. And we didn't have any kids, so child support was out too. Financially, I made out okay in the proceedings. We parted as amicably as could be expected. She went her way and I went mine. Neither of us liked drama or wanted long, drawn-out court proceedings. So we made it simple and signed the papers without too many hurdles. Then we started trying to find our new lives, the ones that we would build without each other. Of course, if you really look at the truth of the matter, she and I had both been building new lives for a while. Her with her friend and me with my secret. Like I said, diverging roads and all that. Hoping to find something to keep me busy and my mind focused, I bought an old house in one of the city's more antiquated neighborhoods. The house was in serious need of repairs and renovations, and I decided to do all the work myself. Before retiring and moving to Florida with my mother to bask in the sunshine and drink imported beer on the beach, my dad had been a contractor. As a teenager, I'd spent summers working with him and his crew. So I knew my way around power tools and knew how to fix and build things. If you had asked Cindy about the sort of skills I possessed, she would have said that I knew how to tear things down. In any case, the house I purchased on Ramsey Street was the perfect distraction for me. That would turn out to be true in more ways than one. You see, that house, like my ex-wife, also had a secret. I discovered it when I was tearing out a patch of damaged sheetrock and stumbled upon something that terrified me and made me feel alive. You're probably wondering what sort of revelation could possibly scare me and invigorate me at the same time. Oh, the things I have to tell you. That, of course, is one of the points of these recordings. You won't believe the things I discovered in my own house. You won't believe the journey that takes place over the span of the next few tapes. And you won't believe where all this leads. I guess that's not completely fair to build up your expectations about learning my secrets and then not even tell you one. So I'll end with this. I have quite a few secrets that no one else knows. I'll tell you one of them now. It's not a secret I'm proud of, but in the grand scheme of things, I think my secret is one that most would sympathize with, given all I've told you about Cindy and her lover. When I found out what was going on behind my back, I followed Cindy and learned as much about her boyfriend as I could. Where he worked, where he lived, which restaurants he liked, which gym he frequented. Basically, every detail about his life. Then one night, when I knew he and Cindy were at the opera, of all things, I found his car in the parking garage. It was a Ferrari 308 GTS, just like the one Tom Selleck drove on Magnum PI. You would be amazed how transformative something as crude and simple as a hammer can be on something as elegant and timeless as a Ferrari. I know Cindy suspected that it was me who wrecked the sports car, but she couldn't prove anything since I also smashed the security camera on that level of the parking garage. Maybe things weren't quite as amicable as I made them out to be. I think it's possible that I simply felt rage about the whole situation because I wasn't in control of all the secrets. Only the ones that were mine. And now you know something about me. This makes me a little bit vulnerable, which I don't really like. But I suppose if I want you, faithful listener, to remain faithful, then I need to treat these recordings as transactions between you and I. You agree to keep listening in exchange for more of the story. The next tape will talk about what I found behind one of the walls of my house and how it relates to a very old and very secretive group. Until then, Knox Carter, signing off for the Warwick Recordings.
The Warwick Recordings are presented by the Deadbolt Mystery Society. Written by Jason Brannan. Edited by David Alderman. Narrated by Glenn Payne. Sound designed and mixed by Glenn Payne. Executive producers Jason Brannan and Sean Brannan. You can support us by reviewing the Warwick Recordings on the platform where you found us and by sharing this podcast with others. If you enjoyed the Warwick Recordings, we think you would also like our puzzle-solving mystery games, which are found at deadboltmysterysociety.com. Thank you for listening. Until next time.